ॐ ज्ञानचिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदन्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीयुतपरकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगणार्गनाथं वितं त्वं सुजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपरम् सहगनललिता शिविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबान्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते सप्तकञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता एज़ इट इज़ चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट 39 पेज 825 रीडिंग द संस्कृत टुगेदर यदग्रे चानुबन्धे च सुखं मोहनम् आत्मनः निद्रालस्य प्रमादोत्थं तत्तामसं उदाहृतम्. Translation: And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance. Text 40. Natarasti pativyam chava divideveshu vapunaha satvam prakriti jaya muktam yat abis yatribir gunai. Translation: There is no being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary systems which is freed from these three modes born of material nature. Text 41. Brahmanam kshatriya visham shudranam cha parantapa karmani paripaktani svabhava prabhavair gunai. Translation: Brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes, O chastiser of the enemy. Text 42. Shamodamastapakshaucham shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam pramakarma svabhavajam. Translation: Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Text 43. Shauryam tejo dutir daksham yudhe chapya palayanam dhanamishvara bhavascha kshatram karma swabhavajam. Translation: Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. Text 44. Krishigo rakshavanijam vaishakarma swabhavajam parichayatmakam karma shudrasyapi swabhavajam. Translation. Farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas, and for the Shudras there is labor and service to others. Text 45. Sve sve karmanya birata saṃsiddhim labhate naraha svakarma niratak siddhim yata vindati tachtrinu. Translation. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. 46. Yata pravritir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. Translation. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. Text 47. Shayan svadharmo viguna paradharmat svanustitat svabhava niyatam karma kurvanapnoti kilvisham. Translation. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Text 48. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api na tyajet sarvarambha hidoshena tumenagnir ivavrata. Translation. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. And finally, text 49. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jitatma vigata sprihaha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyasena digachati. Translation. One who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain, by practice of renunciation, the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Going back to 39. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance. Purport. One who takes pleasure in laziness and sleep is certainly in the mode of darkness, ignorance, and one who has no idea how to act and how not to act is also in the mode of ignorance. For the person in the mode of ignorance, everything is illusion. There is no happiness either in the beginning or at the end. For the person in the mode of passion, there might be some kind of ephemeral happiness in the beginning, and at the end distress, but for the person in the mode of ignorance, there is only distress, both in the beginning and at the end.
Questions on that point? Yes?
How can a person try and derive happiness from the mode of ignorance if it's simply distress in the beginning and in the end also?
Because when he's in the mode of ignorance, he gets pleasure from being in distress. He gets pleasure from sleeping. Sleep is death. Everybody's afraid of death. Nobody wants to die. But they like to sleep. But sleep is death. When he's sleeping, he completely forgets about his waking life. He forgets his wife, he forgets his children, he forgets his job, he forgets the baseball game, everything. So that's death. That's what death is. Death means changing body and forgetting the past body. So while he's asleep, he's in a different body. He's not in the same body, he's in some dream body, some subtle body. He doesn't even remember where he is or who he is. So, but they like death. They like the idea of being ignorant. Now, for a person in the mode of ignorance, he thinks that's good. That's happiness. You see, Krishna is saying that the mode of ignorance is full of distress, but the person in the mode of ignorance thinks he's happy. If he didn't think he was happy, he would change. If you go to a person, say someone's drinking and he's on the gutter, you know, he's lying down in the gutter. He's in it. So you wake him up and you say, "Sir, look at you. Look how miserable you are. Why don't you change?" And he says, "Yeah, okay." So you say, "Come on home with me and we'll fix you up." He says, "No, I want to stay here." He's getting pleasure from something that's actually abominable. It's like a worm in the stool. A worm thinks the stool is very nice. That's because his consciousness is so designed that he finds pleasure in horrible things. That's the nature of a person or a being in the mode of ignorance. But from the point of view of one who's in knowledge, he sees that this is distress, not happiness. Because otherwise, then everyone can say, well, anything is enjoyable to the person. So there's no, it doesn't matter, there's nothing absolute, everything is relative. But from Krishna's point of view, from the point of view of reality, that person is in distress. He's getting misery from the beginning to the end. We can see a person who's, those who are especially engulfed in the mode of ignorance, they also seem morose all the time. They say they're unhappy, they're miserable, they're full of anxiety. The problem is if you ask them to change, then they won't change. So they've become conditioned by that level of low consciousness. So what does it mean if someone's not willing to change? It means he thinks that he's getting some pleasure out of it. He thinks he's found a good way to avoid the sufferings of material life. Just go to sleep, or just take intoxication, or just commit suicide. By committing suicide, he's thinking, I have a solution to all the problems. I found a good solution. Just finish it. Okay, go on.
There is no being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary systems which is freed from these three modes born of material nature. Purport. The Lord here summarizes the total influence of the three modes of material nature all over the universe.
Even Brahma, even the other demigods are affected by the three modes of material nature. And nobody's free. Now, in the Brahman, the Brahmajyoti, there's no influence of the modes of material nature. That's why the jnanis, they want to reach that point. The Brahmavadis, they want to go where they won't be influenced by ignorance, passion, goodness. But even beyond the Brahmajyoti, there is the spiritual planets. Also, there's no influence there of the three modes of material nature. So an intelligent person, he wants to get out. He sees that this material world is full of these three modes, and he wants to get free from that. That's called moksha, mukti, liberation. Okay, next. Any questions on that? Okay.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that the body is a lump of ignorance. Is this true of the demigods because their bodies are so fragrant and beautiful, strong?
This body is a lump of ignorance, and the senses are a network of paths leading to death. Of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. It's very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. But Krishna is so kind, he has given us this nice prasadam, spiritual food, to help conquer the tongue. Now let us honor this prasadam to our full satisfaction, and in love call for the help of Radha Krishna and call out, glorify Sri Sri Gaurangi. So, yes, it applies for them too. Why not? The tongue is also... Everybody's got a tongue. We see Brahma, a form. You see Brahma, he has a form. It's a similar to a human form, demi-celestial form, but it still has form. He has mouth, he has eyes, he has arms, head. So he also eats, and he also has to eat prasadam. He cannot eat anything other than prasadam. If he does, then he also becomes implicated. And we know that even the demigods are plagued by material desires. They're more in the mode of goodness, therefore they have their senses under control better. But still, this body, is, after all, it's made of material energy. And even Brahma became degraded by his mind at one point. And so he had to give up that body. So it's... We wouldn't say that Lord Brahma's body is in ignorance, but he would probably say that. Although, it's certainly not an ignorance on the level of ours. Brahma's in passion or goodness. He's in charge of the mode of passion. So, that we can say that that song is particularly for us. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written that song for our benefit, because at least our body is a lump of ignorance. So we don't say that Brahma's body is a lump of ignorance. In fact, we say that saintly persons, their body is transcendental. So no, we wouldn't say that Brahma's body, he's a pure devotee. It applies to us who are not on that level. Next.
Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures, in accordance with the material modes or chastiser of the enemy. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work.
So here, Prabhupada doesn't discuss it in a purport, but elsewhere he discusses it quite elaborately, these qualities of the Brahmins. This is the characteristics. If someone says, I want to be a teacher, I want to be guru. Guru means teacher. So if he wants to be a guru, he has to show that he has these qualities, or teacher. Or he wants to perform religious ceremonies, then he has to have these qualities. If he wants to be respected as a brahmana, as a scholar, if he wants to write books, he shouldn't write books unless he's behaving on this platform. Otherwise, what is the use in his writing books? Who cares for it? Well, today, people don't care. In fact, they like it when the authors are sensuous in their behavior. But at least in a civilized society, they would only read a book, they would only take advice from someone who had these qualities. So we want that society comes up to this Vedic standard, that they make it that the only ones who are writing are brahmanas, the only ones who are teaching, who are trying to give advice, are proper brahmanas. All the professors, all the teachers in the schools should have brahminical qualities. Then, can you imagine what that would do for the educational system? Imagine if every teacher had all these qualities. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty. But now we have teachers that don't have any of these qualities practically. So what do you expect the children are going to come out like? They'll come out like their teachers. And if their teachers had these qualities, then the whole society would be uplifted. That's why Prabhupada wanted to train up brahmanas. This school, Rupanuga Veda College, is especially meant for that purpose, training brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Because if you have ideal men of society who have knowledge, then that will give a great effect. Even now, in the world, the fact that a person like Srila Prabhupada appeared and wrote so many books and established this movement, it's having its beneficial effect on the society. Even though they didn't accept it directly or immediately, they're considering. They see that his principles are valuable. And many people did respect and accept. So the brahmanas in society, whether they're respected or not, they'll have a beneficial influence. If they're respected and appreciated, they'll have even more influence. Like if the Kshatriyas take it up, this is many religions in the world were spread by kings who patronized a particular religion or doctrine, and they just implemented it throughout their kingdom. So the Kshatriyas have, because they're powerful, they say, this is, in our state, we accept this. Brahmanas don't do that. Brahmanas say, this is the truth. You accept or not accept, it's up to you. I'm just giving the truth. It's like on Sankirtan, we offer the books, we don't force them. But if If we had a kshatriya in charge of the city or the state, he would say, okay, these are the books that are going to be in every school. These books. Those other books are out. So a kshatriya can do that. He's got the power. Okay, let's read about kshatriyas next.
Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the kshatriyas.
Someone wants to be a king, or a president, or a government leader, he has to show these qualities, at least according to the Vedic standard. And we want society to live according to this standard. Why? This is not outdated. This is completely practical. When you find a person who has these qualities, you see that everyone's happy. Like even now, the presidency, they have some kind of a... It's a kind of a shade. They show shades of desiringness. They want, if the candidate has been in the army or served in the armed forces and did some fighting, that helps. And if he's big and strong, that helps. You know, if he's young and healthy, it helps. If he's intelligent, if he has these qualities. Unfortunately, they don't have so much to choose from. The choices that are available are not very high quality. Because, let's look at these again. Heroism, power, determination. So, in other words, let's say somebody has these qualities. It doesn't say that he's very intelligent necessarily. You see, intelligence isn't the qualification. Or learned scholarship. But it's stated elsewhere that because of his being the arms, he follows the head, the brahmanas. It's like, you don't have to tell the arms that you do this and that. Because they know automatically it's part of the whole. They follow the head. So this is the system that the kshatriyas must follow the head, the brahmanas. Then, even though they may not be so intelligent, they may not be able to understand all the nuances of Vedic knowledge, but they don't have to. Because they just inquire and they find out what to do. The brahmana tells them. So even now, if you had... There are people that have some of these qualities in the world. They are there, but they need to be properly guided. And of course they have to be willing to follow the proper guidance. Otherwise, it's like Jarasandha. He had all these qualities. He was heroic, powerful, determined, resourceful, courageous in battle, generous, and leadership. He had all these qualities. He was a kshatriya. But he was a kshatriya against Krishna. So he used his kshatriya qualifications to work against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he was a kshatriya. By all Vedic principles. Question? Okay, go on. Oh yeah, you had a question.
Could a brahmana exhibit kshatriya qualities as well as sudra and vaishya qualities? I mean, is it possible that someone could possess all these qualities? Not just limiting it only to a certain type of class of people, or of, I mean, can it?
Yeah, there are, but the idea is these four divisions. They are the main occupation. Just like, well, let's look at the body, because the body is the classic example of divisions of work. You have the head. So we know what the head does. It has its work. And really, no other part of the body can do it. The arms cannot think and eat. Although, you could stuff food up other parts of the body. You could even give food intravenously, but it's not natural. You could probably wire up your arms so that by some electrical electrodes, you know, they could manipulate, so your arms would be jumping like this. So it wouldn't go through the brain. You could bypass the brain. But this is unnatural. And similarly, the arms are the best for defending, for organizing. I saw one man on television. He was doing things with his feet. He was typing and writing with his feet, eating with his feet. But it's quite unnatural, and it's very unusual that someone would do that. Similarly, the legs are meant for walking. You can walk on your hands. It's not very practical. You can roll over on your stomach. Stomach is meant for digesting. So these things have a natural inclination, a function. Similarly, in society, there's some people that are meant for being teachers, intellectuals, they're inclined in that way. Now, if someone tries to be an intellectual or to be a spiritual leader, when he doesn't have these qualities, then it creates havoc.
I can understand if there's an absence of these qualities. But my question, I was wondering if there's an abundance. Like, say the brahmanas could also work, or the kshatriyas could also go out and do what the sudras are doing, or the vaishyas could also do sudra work. I mean,
well,
is it limited?
Yes,
and
no.
What it's broken
down
with.
It's stated that in times of need, a brahmana can sometimes act as a kshatriya or a vaishya. He can sometimes act in that. But he's not supposed to act as a shudra. And a kshatriya, he may take the profession sometimes of a brahmana, if he's qualified. So the upper ones, they can, or sometimes vaishya, if he's in distress, so there may be some performance of another's duties in time of distress. But ordinarily, no. Ordinarily, he shouldn't. He could. It's not that a Brahmin couldn't do the work of a Shudra. Of course he could. It's not very difficult to be a worker, to be a laborer. But he doesn't, because he has more important work to do. So, now a Vaishnava is one who is above the modes of material nature and is acting as a servant of Krishna. Now, he may act in any capacity, whatever is required. And he doesn't care about the social, whether it's socially acceptable or not, because he's acting on a spiritual platform. Now, a person who's attached to being a brahmana, I've had experience I was in South Africa, and we had many students, and they were all from the Indian, from Asian background, Indian. So they had a hard time doing menial labor. They felt that that was for low-class people. It was very hard for them. If you ask them, please clean the toilet, toilet cleaner, come on, I don't clean toilets. I'm not a toilet cleaner. They could do other things, but they didn't like to do that because they were still in the conception of the body. But a Vaishnava, for Krishna, nothing is too low or too high for serving Krishna.
Sometimes we see that devotees which have Brahman initiation, for example, grihasthas, they take a job outside, they work under somebody else, and they receive salary. Does it mean that they have fallen from the standard of Brahmana?
Not necessarily. It depends what they're doing with the money. If the money is all going for Krishna's service, then their position is still secure. They're Vaishnavas. But if they're just maintaining family, just mundane activities, then they're fallen, yes. They've fallen from Brahminical to Shudra. But if they're using it for Krishna, just like Prabhupada even had brahmacharis out doing that in the beginning, when there was no money in the society in New York, Prabhupada, he had the brahmacharis out working at their jobs. Many of them were welfare workers. They're kind of intellectuals. So they got jobs counseling and so, but they were bringing $400 a month back and they gave it all to Prabhupada. So that's Vaishnava. That's not Shudra. Although, from the material point of view, it looks like a Shudra. He's taking employment. But because it's for Krishna, transcendental. Okay, next.
Farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas, and for the Shudras, there is labor and service to others.
So a farmer or a Vaishya, he doesn't have to have these qualities. He doesn't have to be peaceful, self-controlled. It's not expected that he's going to be austere, pure, tolerant, honest. Even Prabhupada said, a businessman, for him, it's a simple lie that he tells all of the customers, for you I make no profit. He says. So that's not considered against his dharma. He doesn't have to be learned in the scriptures. He doesn't have to be a great scholar. He doesn't have to be gyanam vigyanam astikyam. Doesn't have to be. It's not expected. I was speaking with one of my old friends from, you know, before I was a devotee. Now he's a big producer, movie producer. So I was saying, yes, if you can produce these books, you know, Mahabharata, Ramayana, it'll be very. You'll become a saintly person and you'll help others become. And he said, there's no saints in my business. There's nobody saintly in there. You can't be a saint and be in that business because it's all under the table stuff. Unfair dealings. You have to. Business or politics. Prabhupada said, no good man will go into politics. Because this is full of cheating. You have to take bribes, you have to do all these things. A good person won't go because he'll be forced to compromise. Even the poor teachers, They can't go and teach what they want. Let's say they realize that evolution is a hoax. It's just a theory that's not true. And they say, okay, now I'm going to teach my students the truth. No, you can't teach. They're forced. So everybody's corrupt. The teachers are corrupted. The religious leaders are corrupted. If they don't fulfill the needs or the desires of their parish, their constituents, then they're out. They get no money in the basket. It's like us. Because we don't say what the people want. We don't get much money. But, of course, Krishna is supreme controller, so if he likes, he can send some way. But the point is, they have to say what the people want. The people want gay marriage, they have to say, yes, we think gay marriage is, in the eyes of God, it's acceptable. They're forced. So who's not affected? The Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and of course the Shudras. They're given alcohol and intoxication. Just be quiet, don't make disturbance. Give them some money, let them take their intoxication, and the others, they move outside the city, they leave them in the middle of the city. They like to stay away. They're afraid that the Shudras may cause violence. So, but everybody's corrupt. The whole system. So if we want to bring about a change on a big scale, then the beginning is to train up Brahmanas, to get education. Then the Brahmanas will not be influenced, just like Chanakya Pandit. He wouldn't take any salary. A Brahmana doesn't take salary. These scientists, they become corrupted because they take salaries. And they're forced to work and to prove whatever the others want them, the Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas want them to do. They say, we want you to find a discovery that proves, you know, this or that. We want you to create some weapons, atomic energy, or... But if he's actually a Brahmana, he'll say, why? I'm not going to engage in... You don't pay me and I do what you like. I teach transcendental knowledge, and if you like, you give some contribution. If you don't, that's okay. I don't depend on you. Chandrakya Pandit, he was coming every day to instruct the king, Chandragupta. And Chandragupta would follow everything. One day he questioned, he said, I don't know if I accept that. And Chandrakya Pandit said, okay, that's it. I don't come anymore. Doesn't matter. You don't want to accept, that's all right. But he wouldn't change just to satisfy the king's desire. This is a Brahmana. He's not dependent. He knows that Krishna will supply his necessity. And even if it's very small, like in the case of Sudama Vipra, he was a Brahmana, but he was hardly eating. But he didn't mind. Because austerity, tapasya, they don't mind austerity. In fact, it's considered that austerity is the wealth of the Brahmanas. So he's not afraid that, oh, I'm not going to get so much to eat, or I'm not going to get very opulent situation. For him, truth and purity is the primary thing. Doesn't matter anything else. Fame doesn't mean a thing to a Brahmana. Or respect in society. Doesn't care if people respect him or they don't respect him, or he has opulent place or not, or he has followers, doesn't care. I think we're... Yeah, go ahead.
Could these natural, qualities be covered by conditioned life? Or is these natural qualities exhibited through conditioned life? And then...
Yeah, I understand. Well, Yeah, they're covered to some degree. You can see some symptoms are there. Not fully manifest, because yes, he's covered by some. In other words, if you clear off the ignorance and the passion, or the lower coverings, then the upper coverings, the upper inclination will be more prominent. Yes. Just like our scientists today and our teachers. So they have some inclination. They're intellectual persons. But they also drink and they eat meat. So yes, it's covered. And if they're given proper guidance and training, then they'll give up that intoxication and be a real Brahmin.
So I got two, so I'll try and make it quick. If someone in today's day and age, were living like a pure Vaishya, say in India or anywhere really, following some regular principles and, you know, acting at least by what would be considered, according to Varnashram, proper Vaishya standards, would they be elevated to the next level? Like, would they be born then as like a real Kshatriya in their next life? Is it possible for those kind of things to still happen in this age?
Yeah. Possible. It's not. It's not generally, because it's hard to be purely following Vaishya Dharma or Brahmana Dharma or Kshatriya Dharma. But yes, in theory, it's possible.
And then I was wondering, I was hearing about the different levels of devotees, in particular Uttama Adhikari, one who has full faith, realized knowledge through study of the scripture, and strong faith. And my question is, 1866 talks about, you know, just simply surrender everything unto me, and this is like the essence of what Krishna is trying to teach. So my question is, could one have not read any real, gotten deep into scriptural studies, but if he could simply understand this point,
yeah.
One could actually be considered an Uttama Adhikari simply by understanding one shloka?
Yeah, but then he'll get all knowledge. Uh-huh. If he surrenders, then Krishna will give him all the knowledge. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yasavairagyam Gyanam Chayurahaitakam. Shri Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.